Well, good morning, everyone. If you do have your Bibles and they're not already open to Ephesians chapter 4, I'll give you just a few seconds to do that before we jump in. Now, as I was preparing this, it was just one of the things that God was just really putting on my heart for us as church. You know, we've been challenged kind of week in, week out by Francois, and ultimately by the Word of God to be a church that is outward looking, to be a church that is a light on the hill. That's part of our vision as the church, to be a witness to our community, but not only just to the community that is surrounding us, but those of us that are in the workplace and our families and friends. That's our community that we're called to be a light on the hill to. And as I was just kind of chewing on all these things that we've been kind of challenged on, God just really put on my heart Ephesians chapter 4 and the unity that we need to share with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ as we are going and being that light into the world. Because we're not going to be effective if we're disjointed from one another. You know, if we're not spending time together and getting around the Word and by praying and by meeting together outside of Sunday mornings, then we're doing a disservice to each other, and we're ultimately doing a great disservice to the Lord. And we're called to be the light to the world. So I have 4 points. I know it's not the standard three. I'm sorry. But the third one is only, the fourth one's only short. So let's call it 3.5. But we can't be as effective in being light in the world if we're not in sync with one another. And so, you know, we need to be the light outside of these walls. But if we're not encouraging one another within our daily walks, then we're not doing our full mission as it is for Christians with people in our lives. You know, we're not just called to be Sunday Christians. We're called to be Christians all the time. And some of the ways that we're going to show how we can be equipping one another, we'll go through later. So my first point is this, is that our call is to equip the saints. Now, who are the saints? Look around the room. Look at the person to your left, your right, in front of you, behind you. Those are the saints. Now, we can look at the first part. So verse 11, and he himself gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Now, there's people that have used this to say that, right, so apostles are still today, prophets are still today, et cetera, et cetera. However, we have teachers that have come in the form of apostles to share the word of God in the Old Testament to bring forth calling of Christ to come. We have the prophets that have come. We have the evangelists that have come, the pastors that have come, and the teachers that have come throughout biblical history in order to equip the saints for when Jesus comes. So we have multiple opportunities for the word that's been presented to us to equip us for the work of service. We'll go a little bit further. So equipping the saints for the work of service to build up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God. So there's some key words in there. So until we all attain it. So it's not until most attain it. It's not until some attain it. It's not until some grasp it and then feel that call to then go out and to serve. But until we all attain to the unity of faith. So all of us have a call to equip others. Like Alan prayed earlier, you know, we have to have an account for the blessing and the hope that we have within us. And we can't have that if we're not equipped. Now, how do we get equipped? Well, the first and foremost thing is this book right there. It's all the equipment that we need. And it's the book that we as Christians feel obligated to read often, don't we? You know, it's not the I'm excited that I get to climb into the Word of God and see the words that He wrote to a generation of people that I get to, that's living and breathing, that it's used in all ways to challenge. And yet it's the I got to read my Bible today, or I should read my Bible today. And it's not the joy and the excitement and the you know, often we get more excited about eating a nice dinner than we do about jumping into the Word of God. And it should be the other way around, shouldn't it? It should be the, man, I'm so full today because I've been so consumed by the Word of God. I've been so challenged by the things that it's saying. I feel equipped now to go out. And yet, it's often the, right, I get my three verses in. Okay, let's go. And you know, and we can't, and you know, some days or maybe some weeks we don't read it at all, or some days we, you know, we only read the quick reference that Colin sends on the WhatsApp chat during the week, and that's kind of our source. But you know, if we were looking at it in any other scenario with anything, you know, if we were just lived our entire life on supplements, we would be starving, wouldn't we? If you know, if we supplement our entire diet with just vitamins, then we're depriving ourselves of so many other good things. And yet we so often, and I'm very much counting myself in this, neglect spending time in the Word, and I'm willing to pop the supplement of a few verses here, an encouragement there, a quote here, and think that that's sufficient in equipping myself for going out and working. Our other way of equipping is by, our other way of being equipped is by coming to the things of, that are in church. Our thing, our equipment is bringing our prayers and petitions before God. I know that myself and Neil and anyone that leads on a Sunday morning and Francois pushes the prayer meeting every week, but it's one of those things that is truly the transformation of the church is by getting together and praying with one another. It's one of the things that has been the total blessing of my week of coming in, because it's the thing in the church that encourages one another in our walk. You know, it builds each other up. We pray, for those of you who haven't been before, we pray in intimate groups, you know, so we don't just have like open prayer time where people just kind of pop up. We have guided prayers for things for the church. We have guided things for prayers for the community. We have guided prayers for things of this world. And it's super encouraging. I was some friends of ours from Devon are here today. Make sure you say hi to them. They'll be a real blessing just to talk to. But I was talking to them last night about the fact that the prayer meeting for me has been such a blessing and an encouragement, because it's been able to get to know people intimately that I might not otherwise know in that way. It's a time to where you can hear other people's hearts, other people's things that they want to see God grow in their lives and grow in their communities. And it's a real opportunity to equip each other with tools of encouragement and tools of prayer to be able to go out and be encouraged for the rest of the week, knowing that there's people around us that's praying for you. And there's a big difference between having the, you know, if you're vulnerable enough to have the question, you know, British people always say it used to confuse me. Are you all right? I'd always be like, why? What do you know that I don't? Because in the States, we don't say that. And so I remember like calling people, hey, Justin, you all right? I'm like, maybe. I don't know now after that question. But then the typical response is, yeah, you? Yeah, good, thanks. Great. And let's carry on. But, you know, the time that you might be vulnerable enough to say, actually, no, today's not that great, or I've been struggling this week. And then the person naturally responds to, oh, I'll be praying for you. And it's nice to hear, but I don't know about you, but whenever my experience is, I'm just like, even whenever I've said it, unless I sit there and say, hey, let's pray right now, I'll forget. And then, you know, later on, I'll see them the following Sunday and go, should have prayed for them. Dang it. And then, you know, how are you doing now? You know, and then I don't think I've ever had the guts to say, yeah, you know, I said I'd pray for you, but I didn't. But we all know that the case. But yes, we are called to equip the saints. We're called to equip one another in the goodness and the truth that is in Christ. You know, we're called to just immerse ourselves in His Word. And in order to go out and share that good message that we have, that fulfillment that we have in Christ with our world. So if we're not there to encourage one another, we truly are missing out. And you truly are missing out. And, you know, the prayer meeting, it's one of those things, and I'll stop pushing it after this. The prayer meeting has been one of those things, you know, to where as you intimately get to know one another and praying for one another and praying into things together, the times whenever those people then aren't there, it's truly a missing of a friend and as a brother and as a sister, not being there to encourage and to be encouraged by. And it's very much a fluid movement with each other. And it's a good way and it's a good practical way to equip each other. But then whenever we're going out into the world, you know, what is the thing that's stopping us from ever praising the Lord and ever sharing our faith with other people? You know, it's not the church's job. You know, it's not solely Rob's job or the team's job on a Thursday morning to be the ones that witness for the church on a Thursday, and that's it. You know, throughout the week, we should be as ambassadors of Christ in our communities, sharing the light. The second thing is this, is that as our mission is to mature to the fullness of Christ. So the second half of verse 13, to a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. Now, there's a lot to kind of unpack here, but some of us, you know, we may feel, oh, I feel equipped. You know, I feel like I'm at a good place. I feel like I know good arguments for things that counteract the things that the world may say. I have a quick one-liner to get in there that's going to challenge thought and provoke people in a way that's going to challenge them in their thinking, and hopefully that will then, the Holy Spirit will work that in, and hopefully, you know, they'll come to church and be saved and it will all be merry. But it's such foolish thinking, because, you know, we may feel that we are equipped, but if we're not using that equipment, then we're not being mature with the gifts and the things that God has given us. You know, we're called to be mature to the fullness of Christ, to the full measure and stature which belongs in the fullness of Christ. We are called to be mature believers. We are called, and that is not simply just the head knowledge, but the action of being mature Christians, of being unafraid to challenge things that people are saying, being unafraid to challenge the way our brothers and sisters might be acting. You know, Francois talked last week about, you know, if someone's going off the reservation, you know, it's not judgmental to say, hey, what are you doing? You know, it's out of love that we are calling our brothers and sisters back into Christ. You know, so we've been equipped. Now we're there to mature one another in it. And simply put, why are we to be matured? Because it's so easy to be tossed here and there by the waves of men, by the things that men say. You know, we only have to look at churches today, you know, the Church of England, what they've come out with about making God gender neutral, is being tossed to and fro by trying to satisfy man and trying to satisfy God. And it will never cross over. And so instead of trying to be edgy and be cool and be different and be the exciting thing that we can walk hand in hand with the rest of the world, that we're not called to walk hand in hand with the rest of the world. We're called to be set apart from the world and be different. We're supposed to be look different, act different, talk different, be different. And some of us need to grow in that, myself included. You know, the guys at work challenge me all the time because it's hard to be in the world and be a man of God. It's hard because you're constantly bombarded with everything. For those that are in the world, those who are not in Christ, are constantly throwing things left, right, and center. The things they talk about. So how do you engage with people and then all they talk about is sex? Or all they talk about is how drunk they got over the weekend? How do you engage in that? How do you relate to them? Because if you're not doing those things, how are you then being like, you know, how do you start, you know, oh man, I had 15 beers on Friday, 30 on Saturday, and I felt terrible on Sunday, and I'm still a bit rough today. I mean, I took my daughter to ballet, and then I was at church the rest of the Sunday, and I feel fine. You know, how do you communicate with people in that way? And then whenever it comes to the jokes and things like that, and so having to maneuver around and be within these people without joining in with their conversation, but still trying to fit in and be a part of it, it's tricky. And the times that I stumble and the times that I say things that I shouldn't say or make jokes that I shouldn't make or any of those kinds of things, those people who are not my brothers and sisters in Christ are the ones saying, would Jesus do that? And it's just it's an encouragement, but it's also, it's highlighting my failure as a man of that, you know what, he wouldn't do that, and he wouldn't say that, and he wouldn't lash out this way, and he wouldn't joke this way, and he wouldn't say these things. So no, he wouldn't, and you're right for calling me out on that. Thank you. But it should be so much more of the church saying, Justin, would Jesus talk that way? Now here's the big crux of that. How are you guys going to encourage and challenge me in my walk, and how am I going to encourage and challenge you in your walk if we're not unified in one another, if we're not joined together fully, if all we see each other is on the Sunday morning and then we don't see each other for the following week? It's easy to put on the face for an hour and a half, isn't it? It's easy to put aside the worries of the world, come in, get my Jesus fill, and off I go into the world, clicking my heels merrily. Because I've done it so many years of my life. I've just come in. Yeah, I'm great. Thank you. Yeah, I'll have my coffee. Thank you for my top up of Jesus. And now I'm going to go back. I did it for many years. But, you know, who are we letting influence us whenever we're talking about being tossed to and fro? Are we letting the world infiltrate too much in our spiritual life? Are we letting false teachers infiltrate too much of our life? There's so many false teachers nowadays. YouTube is just packed full of people that are absolutely heretics, that have churches of thousands of people that everyone is saying yes, 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 yes to. And what's happening is because they have high budget music, they're infiltrating the true believing church with their songs. And everyone's going, amen to that. Everyone's going, yes, that song is glorifying and edifying to God, when in all reality, it's all self-indulgent. Sorry, it really winds me up. Because the thing is that we're not called as Christians to focus on ourselves at all, are we? You know, the thing is, we sing it sometimes, the song, you know, that goes, as a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Is that here's the craziness of it, is that if no person was ever in the world and Christ still came and died, the first and foremost thought that would be in his mind is that he's glorifying and edifying his Father, and we are the recipients of that edification and glorification in that. So as awesome as we are and as awesome as everyone in this building is and anyone that's listening to it, the Christian walk in faith and our spiritual journey is nothing to do with us. It's to glorify and edify the Lord. And our feelings sometimes need to be put aside, and our pushing forward despite our feelings needs to be the foremost and forethought of our mind, of that there's difficult parts in Scripture that we're looking at and saying, you know, I don't like this. This is hard to chew. This is harder to swallow. But I know this is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. And so I'm going to abide by it. And it's the same as a child that obeys their parents, of that, you know, God's not trying to rob us of joy by putting these things in our lives. It's to make sure that we are protected and that God's glory is being shared amongst each other. You know, whenever we first moved into our house, I remember one of the things Avery said was that, hey, I could slide down the stairs in this box. And I was just like, well, guess what? You could do that. But we're not going to, or I'm gonna jump off the bed, or I'm gonna do these things, and you know, she's almost like her complaint is almost, but you're robbing me of my fun and my joy, and I have, and you know, I want to say to her, I'm not trying to rob you of anything. I'm trying to protect you because all you see is the fun, and I see the wall at the end of the stairs that you're going to snap your leg on. I see the sofa breaking and you falling off and smashing your head and us going to wait at A&E for 5 hours. And I don't want you to smash your head. And I don't want you to break your leg. And so that's why you can't jump on the sofa. That's why you can't play with fireworks. That's why you can't light the stove. It's not because I want to rob you of joy, but I want to keep you safe. But Paul warns us not to be tossed to and fro, not to be letting everything that has the label of Christian on its hashtag be an influence in our lives, not having the label of that because it's at a Christian bookstore that it's sound. Not having the label just because it's a church that it's going to be good, and so therefore we should listen. And the third thing is this, is that we are to, not only are we to equip one another, not only are we to mature, but we're to grow in every way. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. So let's just stop there for a minute. Grow up in all aspects of him. So not just the things that we like in Scripture, not just the things that we find palatable in Scripture, the challenging things we're to grow in. We're supposed to seek out. You know, there's more resources now in the world than there's ever been whenever it comes to Christian resources and good, solid, sound resources. And most of them are either dirt cheap or free. Now, we have to first be equipped in this, that whenever we read what man wrote, we can say, actually, I don't know if I agree with that because Scripture is saying this. But if we're not equipped in this, then to go to the next thing is impossible. So it all goes back to we need to be equipped in every way first. So growing in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ, for whom the whole body being joined and held together, by which every joint supplies according to the properly measured working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So all of us are called to equip one another. So it's not Francois' job to be the equipper. It's not my job. It's not Neil's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's all of us to be equipping one another, to be helping each other grow and mature, and to bind each other together. Every joint and its works and its individual parts. So not everyone is going to be the preacher. Not everyone is going to be the person who does coffees. Not everyone is going to be all these things, but all of us should have a role within church that we are satisfying our calling and our gifting and growing and challenging ourselves in that. We're to be holding each other together. Now there's a film the film 300. Some of you may have seen it, but it was the like manly film in the early 2000s. It was, you know, the cover's just a bunch of like big buff guys that are walking around, the 300 that defeat this massive army. And he has, the king has this one quote, is that our army is only as good as the person next to me with the shield. And it's such a powerful quote in that, you know, there's one guy that's wanting to join, but he can't really lift his shield up high enough. And he's saying, as worthy as you are, we're not accepting you in because we're only as strong as high as you can lift that shield. And we are the same as church. We are only as good as the person next to us is willing to serve. We're only as good as we are willing to serve. Now, if we're not serving the church, then we're not helping to equip properly, and we're not helping to mature properly. And so that as we are lifting that shield up to each other, and the reason why that's so crucial is because that man on the right is protecting the man on the left so he can focus on getting the guy in front, and it's also protecting the guy next to him. So we're all in unison attacking and defending simultaneously to be able to be a force to be reckoned with. And so we all need to have our roles within the church. Now, some of you may think, I don't know what my role is, but I really feel called to pray. And I think that's what's so awesome about the ladies that that pray for those that go out on the table on Thursdays. That is a massive gift that is often overlooked within the church is the power of prayer. That the fact that there's these ladies that come in, week out, and faithfully are praying for those that are faithfully going out is massive. And if anything, if the minimal that we can do is that we can be praying for those that are going out, that we know this week, Thursday morning, the outreach team is going to be out at the table, that we can be praying for them, that the enemy is kept at bay, that the gospel is penetrating hearts, that it is breaking hearts for the lost, that this town is being transformed by the gospel. But we need to be working together in that. We need to be finding that thing that is going to push us further into the church body and push us further in equipping each other in Christ. We have to do it. The church is decimating in numbers. It is falling by the wayside whenever it comes to what is labeled as the church. We were talking again this weekend about the fact that the Church of England is not the church. That it is the church that is playing church that has unfortunately been given the all clear by the rest of the world, or by this country, by this nation, is that the Church of England is not the be-all and end-all whenever it comes to church. And so as Christians are getting annoyed at the things that they're doing, simultaneously we need to also be thinking, yeah, but they're not representing Christ, so therefore they're not the church anyways. So they're not going to be the ones that are fulfilling things. It's our job to go and fulfill the things that we have been taught and equipped in. Speaking truth and out of love to one another, you know, not beating somebody over with a bat and being like, you know, you need to be doing more, but challenging each other in love to push forward, knowing that the body's only going to be held up properly whenever everybody is holding it up with their gifting and ability. We need to be rooted together in Him, support each other in Him in all ways. Working together is the only way that the church is going to grow. You know, looking at it and saying, that's not my job. Has anyone ever seen those videos on Facebook? Not my job. It's usually with builders that come into a work site and they're going to be laying carpet and see that that the builders didn't put pipes underneath the floor because that wasn't their job, even though it's a simple task of lifting a floorboard and just putting it back down, or not nailing a floorboard down, rather, but they've ripped it up to put pipes in and then didn't nail it back down because it's not their job. Their job is to lay pipes. Or not my job to move this little poster out of the way so I can paint behind it. So they move the poster and it's just this nice bare square. Not my job. That happens at my work all the time of that, you know, oh, that's not the machine I normally work on. It's not my job. You know, it's not my job to keep that machine going. That's his job to keep that machine going. You know, and it's often we can, whether we're doing it so intentionally or not, of that, you know, that's not my job. Within the church, that's not my responsibility. That's the leadership's responsibility. That's not my responsibility. That's their responsibility. But it's our responsibility. You know, we're starting up a children's group, a children's ministry on a Wednesday evening. And I came in the elders' meeting and I sat down and said, you know what? I really feel that we should start a children's group. We need to be investing more into the next generation of young people. We need to be pulling the children off the streets into this place, telling them about Jesus. And Francois goes, I agree, do it. And it was one of those, I was like, all right. That was my burden that I felt that needed to change within the church. And so therefore, I'm the person that needs to be the one that's the main runner of it. And, you know, if there's something else that's going on that you feel that the church isn't doing, you know, or that the eldership should start talking about and implement, then be okay with the fact that we might turn around and say, you know what, we absolutely agree 100% with the idea that you have. Run with it. But the thing is that that's going to build up other things. So as soon as we announced that the children's ministry was going to start, I had people come up to me straight away and say, can I help? Can I do this? I want to be a part of it. Or I figured you would ask me anyways, so I'm going to come up ahead of time and get myself in. And it's one of those things that as soon as an opportunity came, jumped on. And more of that should happen. More of that should be the way that we're running. But if we're in unity with each other, if we're equipping one another, if we're in the lives of one another, living, knowing the things that are going on, knowing the challenges, knowing the struggles, knowing the hardships, building each other up, and having Christ be the one that pours over all of that over us, man, what a church that's going to be. What a church that is, where Christ is challenging us, we are challenging one another, we're growing one another. Man, have you seen this verse today? This thing has just absolutely been kicking my tail when it comes to how I live. How do you feel about it? What's challenging you? What verse did you read this week? You know, what section of scripture are you just wrestling with? You know, what things are going on in the world that the governments are doing that you are just struggling with because it's so contrary to the Word of God? And the thing is that if we're doing all of these things, then our fight together as building the body is going to be tenfold more aggressive in the best ways possible. So we are going to be effective in the things that we do. You know, it saddened me a little bit that Francois was talking to somebody on the street, and they asked, well, where the church is? And they said, you know, just up across from the car park. And they said, oh, the Methodist church? He said, no, the much bigger building in front of it. if we're sitting here in the building that's in front of that, but they know where that is. But with us, they're like, I thought that closed, or I thought that was a school, or I didn't realize that was still going the way in which it was. But man, if we're there on the streets, if we're there bringing kids in, if we're there starting these ministries and running with them and building each other up, and then we're going to be effective in the community. People are going to know where Great Harwood Christian Fellowship is. That's why the warm space is such a cool idea, because we're the only ones in Great Harwood that are a warm space. So on the map, whenever you look at the warm spaces of Great Harwood, there's a pinpoint right at our church. And it's such an easy thing to say, hey, we're here, we love you, we care for you, and we're going to put on something that's going to fulfill a need. Whether or not it happens is irrelevant, but we're here and we're going to let you know that we're open for business. But our fight will be so much stronger. And we'll close with this. Ephesians 6:10-12, you know well. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That our battle is not with each other and who's doing what, and you're not doing this and you're not fulfilling this, but our battle is with the devil. Our battle is with the enemy. Our battle is with his minions that are in the world, that are whispering lies into our ears, whispering lies into the ears of so many unbelievers, of that our fight is with them. But the thing is that we're not called to just fight invisible beings that we can't see, but we're called to put on the full armor. And sometimes we're called to put on the full armor and we need our buddy to put it on for us and say, man, I am struggling today. Here, put that on you. Here, let me grab the sword for you again. Let me put it back in your hands. Let me put the helmet on your head because you're struggling with it, but I can lift it for you. It brings the unity right in back into place of that when as we're going in this fight, you know, as we're equipping ourselves, is that sometimes we need somebody to just help us get started. And then the excitement builds once again. And that's one of the things that's so great about meeting together, is that it should build up the excitement in us once again. Now, I want to ask this question. How many on a Sunday morning has heard the message and they've been really challenged and really convicted of how they're living or what they're doing or not doing? And they make this conscious effort of that, you know what? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to get to work early. I'm going to bless everybody that comes in, and I'm going to just be the light in my workforce or in my workplace. And it's going to be revolutionary to what's happening at work. And then somebody comes in and spills something on you, or, you know, you have a tough person that to work with and they frustrate you straight away, and you're like, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to be like my normal self. I remember that happened to me Now, whenever I was in high school, I lived very much not the Christian life. I should write a book on just the things that I did. It was awful. Like, I genuinely treated people terribly. I had no care in the world whenever it came to people or stuff. It was very bad. And, you know, I praise God that I'm not that person anymore. But I remember I went to this one youth camp because it was in Florida at the beach. That was the only reason why I went. It was a free holiday at the beach. We got to do whatever we wanted throughout the day, but we had to go to this one meeting in the evening. And even in that, we got in trouble with the police. Like, we broke a cop's windshield. Like, horrible things like that, you know. And I remember we were sitting on the beach, and we were having this this gospel service on the beach. And I was listening to it, and I was just like, super challenged by it again. I was just reminded of the power of the gospel, and it really just, like, it was eating me up inside. And one of my friends who was the same way, and I remember that night he called his girlfriend, and he was like, we need to stop doing what we're doing. You know, like, God has just really put this on my heart and challenged me. I want, you know, and he was like saying, I want to go get baptized. And I was like, yeah, we need to. And I was like, yeah, I'll arrange that, man. We've got this pool over here at your friend's house. Like, we'll just do like a baptism there, and like, I'll do it for you and all these kinds of things. And we were like, right, we're going to go back to high school. We're going to be this massive changed person, and we're going to really be the light in our high school. And 2 weeks later, we were there getting stoned at a party and just had no intentions whatsoever fulfilling any of those things. And so that excitement, that buildup of like, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be the change. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like deflated, and like, I'm not doing that. And so going back to old ways is much easier. But if I had somebody there that I had spoken to and said, you know what? Somebody that was a believer, a brother or sister in Christ that was, I said, you know what? I want to do this. And I feel like God is pulling me in this. And I need help doing this because my body and my natural instincts, you know, Paul talks about this. My body does what my spirit doesn't want it to do. And my spirit does what my body doesn't want it to do. I'm so torn because all I want to do is glorify God, but all my body wants to do is roll in sin. And how do I do this? Well, we need those around us that are saying, well, hey, you know what? You messed up. You know, let's not work around it. You messed up. You fell short. But the Bible also says that you're going to fall short, that your heart is inherently corrupt, and that you need Jesus on a daily basis. And so if we're being the Lone Ranger in our walk, that we're not being that encouragement, we're not being that light. And so the light that we are being is just a half-hearted, good-intentioned, poorly executed version of light. And I don't want to be that to people because we're selling the gospel short, we're selling God short, and we're doing a disservice to those people. There's this quote that Charles Spurgeon said. And this should be kind of our cry. And I want you to kind of just get the heart behind it. So I'm going to give a little bit of that. Our equipping should be so well-tuned that we're begging people to see the error in their ways. We're begging people to just, you know, we're begging God to change their hearts. We're begging God to change their minds, to come to a saving understanding of who He is. And Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, "Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees, imploring them to stay and not madly to destroy themselves. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions. And let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for." That's a challenge. It's a challenge, but that should be our war cry as Christians. And that if we're struggling and being that's grasping the knees of unbelievers, that our brothers and sisters are encouraging us, saying, no, keep grabbing on, keep holding on, keep pushing, keep praying for that person to come in, keep annoying them with the gospel, because it may take 1,000 times to go in, and one day it might go in or it might not, but that's not up to us. Ours is to plant the seeds and to go forth into the world and make disciples. And we're not going to be doing that sufficiently if we are the lone ranger in our walk. That it's just me, myself, and my Bible, and I don't need anybody else. I don't need to come to this, that, and the other, because I'm good. Because at the end of the day, our best day is dirty rags. And so we need to be... This has been challenging me like crazy. You know, I wrote this sermon over a month ago because I thought I was preaching over a month ago. So I had it prepared, and so I've just been sitting on it and chewing on it for the better part of 6 weeks. And it's been one of those things that's been really challenging me. It's been really provoking me in my walk. It's been one of these things that it's been uncomfortable because, like I say, so often my body is saying, you know, my heart is saying, you can do this and still live this. You can act this way and still wear this hat. And you can maybe not cross the line, but man, you can certainly flirt with it and still be this. And it's been one of those things that, you know, it's been challenging me, and I've been challenging my family to be, you know, is that I don't want the excuse one day to heaven. You know, when I get to heaven and God's saying, you know, what did you do? And say, well, I had every good intention of going to church more often. I had every good intention of going to the prayer meeting. I had every good intention of going to the Bible study and going to the equipping of the saints and going to this, that, and the other. I had every good intention of sharing the gospel with my friends. But I was tired. Or I was worried what they might think. Or I was worried that their response back to me would be detrimental or make me look stupid or make me feel small, or I wouldn't have a good enough argument for them, so I just decided to not at all. You know, I don't want to have that be on my, you know, on my head of that I could have, and I really wanted to deep down, but I never really did because I was worried or I was fearful or I was tired. Or this took place, or this took place, or this took place. But I want to go. I want to enter into heaven exhausted. You know, that's one of the best quotes I ever heard from a pastor of how to be a good father, a good spiritual Christian father, not only to people around you, but to your own family and children, is to go to bed exhausted. That whenever you get home at the end of the day, it's not plop on the TV, it's my time now. I hope, wife, you've made dinner, or I'm just going to quickly do this or that or the other, but it's to come home and to spend time with my wife, asking her how her day was, what things can we be praying for in that day, what things that we've been praying for that God is seeing change in. Avery, what happened at school today? You know, what did you learn? How is this going to be applied in Scripture? How can we challenge her and grow her in her faith? How can we immerse ourselves in the Word? And spending time together. And by the end of the day, I don't have anything left. So I just need to sleep so I can get back up again and to do that. And the thing is that the rest of my family does that as well. And that's the life that I want to live, that I want to go to bed exhausted. I want to get to heaven crawling, just like, man, I don't have anything left. And so this is where I'm going to rest in the fullness of God. And the glory that he has with my brothers and sisters, singing praises, like the song we sang this morning, singing the same song for eternity of how great God is. I want to leave this world knowing that I did all that I could while I was here to tell people about the goodness of God, that I encouraged my brothers and sisters in their faith and challenged them. So now I'm putting the challenge to you guys specifically of this church of Great Harwood Christian Fellowship. If I'm not doing that for you, come and tell me. If Neil isn't doing that for you, go and tell him. Sorry, I put the challenge on you anyways. If Francois is not doing that for you, go and tell us, because, you know, our jobs as this eldership team is to be helping equip and shepherd. And if we're not doing that properly, I mean, tell us in love, please. Be like, the heck are you doing? You're rubbish. You know, don't say that. You can, but I'll be sad when I go home. But I want to challenge myself to be that for you guys, for my family. And I challenge you guys to be that for me and for your family and for your other brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are walking so close together that we just don't know where we end and the person next to us begins, because we're so unified in Christ that as we walk into this world, that we're not going, even though we may be going physically alone, you know, because we don't all work together or live together, but we can go into it knowing that there's an army of people praying for us that day to run the race well. Now, we have those prayer aids that are in the bulletin. So if you don't have one, let us know. We'll happily email you one. Every single person in this room and every person that belongs to this church is on that. Pray for it. Do it daily. You know, the power of knowing that somebody else is praying for me each day is just awesome. And on that note, let's do that and pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you that your word doesn't leave us where we are, Lord, that we're not called to just be idle Christians, Lord, but we are called to be the light in the darkness, that we are called to unify with one another in Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to walk this life together, Lord, that we would be unified in you, Lord, that you would be challenging us and equipping us, Lord, and for the areas that we fall short in, God, that you would just continue to grow us in it. Lord, that we would be able to just be excited about coming to church, Lord, excited about having these brothers and sisters here today be praying for us and encouraging us, one another, as we walk and get closer to you. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that is a light on the hill. Lord, that we would be seen in the community as people who love genuinely and love well, and that ultimately love you. So Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to grow us in that. And we just thank you for this growth. And we just want to give you all the glory and praise and pray it in your name. Amen.